Voltaire began writing Candide in the winter of 1757-8, when he was spending the winter months in Lausanne on the shore of Lake Geneva. And then he completed it at his house, Les Délices, on the outskirts of Geneva in 1758, and the story was published in February 1759. When I say published, it had been printed by local publishers called the Cramer brothers, whom Voltaire had chosen, amongst other reasons, for their, as it were, pan-European distribution network. And in this case, he very carefully orchestrated with the Cramer brothers that the copies of the book would be sent to Paris and London and to Liège in advance and then kept under wraps. And then at a given moment, it would be released, i.e. published, so that it would create the maximum effect throughout Europe. Some copies were sent to London also. It's not quite clear which date he chose. My own theory is that he may have chosen February the 20th, which was his illegitimate birthday, as it were, the secret date on which this book, which was in the end to be his masterpiece, was released. So it was published in February 1759, and at 85 pages or so is the longest of Voltaire's philosophical tales. At one level, Candide is simply a spoof of chivalric romance, and as such owes something to Cervantes' Don Quixote, and indeed to Henry Fielding's Tom Jones, of which Voltaire had recently read a translation into French. And at this simple level, then, it's the story of Candide, this young lad who falls for his uncle's daughter, Cunégonde, who is 17 and toothsome, and is then kicked out of the house by his uncle for kissing her. And then Candide spends the rest of the story, as it were, undergoing a series of random and horrific experiences until he finally meets up with Cunégonde again, first in South America and then in Constantinople, today's Istanbul, by which time she's not quite the young, toothsome beauty that she once was. At another level, it is, as its subtitle suggests, about optimism. Optimism with a capital O, which is a term coined by the Jesuits at the time to describe the philosophy of Leibniz, which holds, very simply put, that God, being perfection, created the best of all possible worlds. And of course, this is the philosophy spouted by Maître Pangloss, Master Pangloss, who is Candide's tutor. The whole of Candide reads like a kind of comic strip. It's a kind of 18th century Asterix. And it shows Voltaire's great talent for causing one to be angry about and disapprove of things by virtue of their being ridiculous. He once said to a friend, "I have only ever addressed one prayer to God, and it is very short. Please, God, make all our enemies ridiculous. God has granted my wish." And so in Candide, we have a kind of list of all the ridiculous things that Voltaire wants us to be angry about, but having first laughed at them. So such extremely serious phenomena as war, religious malpractice, even social snobbery, and the general rape and pillage that's depicted in Candide is presented through, as it were, the lens of a comic strip. And of course, the central joke derives from this contrast between an apparently daft philosophy, everything is for the best in this best of all possible worlds, and all this huge, long list of man's inhumanity to man. A list which, of course, Voltaire had been compiling mentally as he himself had been working on A History of the World, his famous essay on the customs of nations, and which was published in its first version shortly before Candide. In the story, Candide himself gradually learns to distrust his tutor Pangloss and to think for himself. Candide as a name is sometimes thought to derive from the Latin candidus, meaning white, and that he is, as it were, an innocent or white piece of paper upon which experience writes itself, which is very much the way in which Locke figures our understanding of the world. And by the end of the story, Candide comes to conclude that there really is no point in sitting about speculating on the meaning of life. We simply need to make a go of things, to make a go of the mess we've been lumbered with. And so the story ends famously as he turns to Pangloss and says, "That's all very fine, but we really should get on with the gardening."